In that home, we knew we were safe to be young enough to dream, find the faith to believe.
Welcome to the podcast, Life to the Full, with Nancy Campbell, founder and publisher of Above Rubies.
Where we learn to forgive in that home.
Hello, ladies. We are back to our series, Is There a Better Word Than Kids? And we're up to part six. When I start a series, it seems to linger on, doesn't it? We actually interspersed it with a couple of sessions when I interviewed Rebecca Lavrenz. And I would like to update you today about what happened with Rebecca. She has been up in Washington, D.C. with her trial. And today was the ninth day of her trial. Imagine 9 whole days for just a little great-grandmother who all she did was walk into the Capitol on January 6th, following others because the doors were open. She walked around, she prayed, and then felt she had accomplished her purpose after praying and walked out. She was there about 10 minutes. And now she has been accused of quite a number of charges, which are quite erroneous. Well, anyway, they have deliberated for all these days. And now on the ninth day, she says here, just got her email now. I am in utter disbelief by today's verdict. Never in my life did I imagine that my own government would charge me as a criminal for exercising my religious liberties and rights to free speech, which are guaranteed by the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. They are trying to stop our voices, put fear in our hearts, and take away the inalienable rights given to us by God. But I will not let that happen to this praying great-grandmother as long as I have breath. I've never considered myself a victim, and I'm not about to start now. I'm taking a deep breath, finding a place to rest for the night as we head back to Colorado. Then we will spend extra time with God to find out his plan for what's next. They will be having the sentence on August 12th. So we must still keep praying for Rebecca. This is just so amazing what is happening in our country. Dear ladies, those of you who are here in America, many of you are listening from around the world, of course, but please pray. I don't think many people realize just where we are at in this country and how it is going down this communistic tube of destruction. We have a dear friend who is part of our fellowship here from Vietnam. He fled Vietnam before it became communist, and he was seeing then in Vietnam the things that we are seeing happening here now. And even fleeing Vietnam, it was not enough. He has still been harassed by them, even here in the States. So keep praying. I trust that you are praying daily, morning and evening, with your families, crying out to God for this nation. Oh, that God will turn it back to its origin, its foundation, and how our forefathers established this nation. I'm just reading at the moment the book, The American Heritage, and oh, to read about our founding fathers and how godly they were and how they established this nation. We have come so far away, but we can always return. And it happens by prayer and seeking God and turning from our wicked ways. Amen. Well, ladies, we are now up to in our number of words. Yes, I've got 20 words that God uses in his word about our children. And today is number 17, princesses. Now, when I was talking to you last on this subject, we talked about our sons being princes in all the earth. And now today, we're talking about our daughters being princesses. Now, this is the scripture, Psalm 144, verse 12. That our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. Now, I have 6 points here that we will find in that one little sentence, and they're all starting with P. Actually, this first one, it really doesn't start with P, but I just found a P to make sure I would have 6 P's because I didn't want to have one that was different. The real word I'm going to talk about here is cornerstone. Now, the cornerstone is the first stone that is laid in a building. Every other stone or whatever materials are used are placed from the very setting of that cornerstone. And so that is why Jesus is called the chief cornerstone, because he is the cornerstone of the building of the church. Let's read that. We should read it, shouldn't we? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. It all hinges and is founded on Jesus Christ and his word, his sayings, who he is. It's built upon him. He's the chief cornerstone. But isn't it amazing, ladies, that here the Bible calls our daughters cornerstones? Now, I use the word pivot because the word pivot also means that it's that on which something hinges, and the pivot is that's the very heart and the head and the foundation of something. But the word here, of course, is cornerstone. And a cornerstone is such a powerful thing. It speaks of many things. It speaks of stability and strength. The cornerstone represents the stability and strength of a building. I remember when Serene's husband, Sam, first started building, and he found the remains of a little house, and he, you know, picked them all up and came out here to the land where we all are and decided he'd put it together to build their first little house. Well, he had never built in his life, but he just went ahead and did it. Today, he is a great builder, and everywhere you go, something Sam is building or directing the building of. But back then, it was all trial and error, and he started off with the cornerstone, the first corner. Well, it wasn't quite in alignment. So it was the funniest house. It was always out of alignment. And we would just look at that cornerstone where he started, and it would go up one side. It just wasn't in alignment. And it just showed how important it is to have the cornerstone perfect. It also speaks of alignment and orientation. Builders carefully position the cornerstone to align it with cardinal directions, north, south, east, and west. So symbolically, it signifies alignment with purpose and values and principles. Yes, and this is what raising our daughters is all about, mothers. It symbolizes a historical marker. They often put inscriptions on cornerstones. that include dates, names, and events relating to the building's beginning. And these serve as historical markers, preserving memories and commemorating important moments. So it symbolically means that the continuity and the legacy of a family. And also it speaks of unity and connection as the point where intersecting walls meet. The cornerstone unites different elements of the building. And so it symbolizes unity and the coming together of all the different parts to create a harmonious whole. Yes, so let's think of who our children are. When God calls them cornerstones, He is not just, you know, just saying something flippantly. No, they are cornerstones, ladies. We, as a mother, are a cornerstone in the home. We are the very foundation of this home as we build it and grow it, a building unto God. And therefore, the foundation must be right. We must be founding our home and establishing our home on a right foundation, the foundation of truth, the foundation of what God says. That is the cornerstone. The foundation of what God says, and we're training our children in these truths. It's not something we can flippantly just pass by, ladies. We've got to be a cornerstone and train our children, specifically our daughters, God is saying here, to be the cornerstones. They're the cornerstones of the home. Now, this is interesting. You'll remember when I was talking about how our sons are like plants grown up in their youth, growing up into mighty oaks. And what are they represented by? They're represented by plants growing up into a tree. Now, where do you find a tree? You find it outside. The tree grows outside. And so even there we have the picture of the male being the one who goes forth to provide for the family. He goes outside the home. He's the one who brings that back to the home which is needed. But he's the provider and the protector and the priest of the home. But the cornerstones, they are inside the home. We'll see that more as we go on. Now, number two, and here we are for a P, our daughters are a pattern. Now, where do I get the word pattern? From this same scripture, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude. That's the King James language. After the similitude of a palace. But the word means pattern. It is the Hebrew word tebnith, meaning a model for a building, a structure, a pattern, a plan, an example. We see the same Hebrew word used in other scriptures. In Exodus 25:9, speaking to Moses, how that he had to build everything after the pattern of the tabernacle. 2 Kings 16:10, and King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest the fashion, that's the tabneath, the pattern of the altar, and the pattern of it, according to all the workmanship thereof. 1 Chronicles 28:12, then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, and the houses thereof, and the treasuries thereof, and many other things, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. So, here we see, ladies, that we as the example are a pattern for our daughters, and God wants our daughters to grow up knowing the pattern for the home. Today, so many young girls are pushed into college and pushed into careers and great ideas of careers that the parents have for their daughters. But we don't see that in the Word of God. The passion is for the woman to be in the home. Now, that doesn't mean she's in the home every second of her life. No, she will go out, of course, and often do wondrous things. But her foundation, the base of where she is the home. And as she marries, her home is her palace. Her home is her kingdom. Her home is her vision. Her home is her heart, and where she lives and raises her children and begins to build a godly home that impacts the nation. And so God has given the pattern. He's given that pattern in Titus 2:3-5, where it talks about the woman being the keeper of the home. And we see that also in Psalm 128:3. Your wife is like a fruitful vine within the heart of your home. And look at all those children sitting around the table. Another beautiful picture of the mother being in the heart of the home. Another interesting thing about this Hebrew word, tamnith, which it comes from the root word to build. And that word, banah, is to build, banah. The first time that word banah is ever mentioned, ladies, is in Genesis when God formed the woman. It's very interesting. Actually, I was wrong, because God didn't form the woman. God formed the man. Let's see it here. I'm just going back to Genesis. Yes, let's see. So we'll go to chapter 2. Yes, and here we go. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But when it comes to the creation of the woman, it doesn't say that he formed her. He uses a completely different word. We go to Genesis 3, verse 22. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman. The word is banah. Builded he a woman. The first time the word build is used is in relation to women. Now, you'd think that would be to men, wouldn't you? They're the ones who build houses and build cities. Oh, no, it's to women. We as women are builders. What does Proverbs 14 verse 1 say? Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And this word here about our daughters is also from the root word build. Isn't that interesting? Yes. So God wants our daughters to have the pattern of the building, because they are going to be building a home. This is the biggest thing that we prepare and train our daughters for, dear ladies, for the building of their home. We are preparing our daughters not for a career. Oh, yes, they may go on mission trips. They may get into some kind of thing before they're married, because you don't know when you're going to be married. But they're ultimately preparing for their ultimate career, which is to build a home. That is the greatest thing in God's eyes. And so here he brings this word into this scripture to our daughters, that they will have the passion for the building. Amen. Are you getting it, ladies? Oh, isn't there so much in the Word? We can just read it and gloss over it and don't realize. Now we get on to number 3. Our daughters are to be fashioned for a palace. another P. Yes. Now, we don't actually see the word palace, or do we? Here I am, Psalm 144. Yes, here it is. We've got palace right here in the King James. Yes, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude. That's the pattern. So we've got polished, pattern. Haven't talked about polished yet. Pattern of a palace. Yes, a palace. He's not even talking about a house. He's talking about a palace. He wants to raise our sights, dear precious ladies. Dear mothers, we have to raise our sights even for ourselves. We're doing more than building a home. We are building a palace for God's kingdom. You see, we belong to a royal kingdom. God's kingdom is a kingdom. And so, therefore, we belong to this royal kingdom. We've been brought in to this kingdom. And it's a royal kingdom. Some other translations say, yes, Berean Study Bible. Our daughters, like corner pillars, carved to adorn a palace. The Passion Translation, our daughters, with graceful beauty, royally fashioned as for a palace. The New English Translation, carved in the pattern of a palace. You see, ladies, our daughters are designed for royalty. What does it mean to live like royalty? Well, we're going to live in the palaces of God's kingdom. We're going to make our homes like palaces. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have this, although in the natural, a palace is usually a glorious building. But when we take it to the reality here in our lives, our palace may not necessarily be this great building or flash building. It may be just the most little humble home. But a little humble home can be a palace if it's filled with the presence of God and it's being built on the pattern of God's truth. That's what makes it a palace, dear mothers. So don't be downcast if you don't live in a great palace. It doesn't matter where you live. You can make it like a palace. Now, my husband has always loved palaces. He loves big houses and big palaces. And when we went to Scotland last year, he just loved going to all the Campbell palaces. We had been to the Campbell Castle. No, that's called Castle. Yeah, Campbell, Castle Campbell, it's called, just north of Edinburgh. We had been there a few times. And the first time we went there, my husband came to the gatekeeper and said, "I'm home." And the guy looked at him a little aghast. He said, "Well, my name is Colin Campbell," who was the originator of the Campbells. And the guy looked at him a little strangely. He said, "Oh, well, I'll let you in for half price." So anyway, this time we went to Scotland. We went to the main castle, and which is still being lived in by the current Campbell, who has originated from right down the line. And it was so amazing, just an amazing building. And then we went to a couple of other places. They weren't actually known as castles, but they were like palaces. And we found out that they were also owned by Campbells. But, okay, so much for great ornate buildings and palaces. The main thing is that we are building our homes on the pattern of God's truth and filling them with the presence of God and training our daughters to be like royalty as we are training our sons to be princes in all the earth. So what does this look like, ladies? How do we train them to be like royalty? Do we train them to speak like royalty? I think how we speak is very, very important. It actually opens up doors for our children as they grow into adults. If they know how to speak, if they don't know how to speak properly, they can be very brilliant, very intelligent, but really, how can they get anything across? Do encourage your children to speak clearly. If they're speaking fast and rapidly and nobody can understand what they're saying, oh yes, you will. Mothers always understand what their children are saying, but think of other people who are listening. Are they understanding? I don't understand a lot of what young people are saying today. Well, I am getting deaf. I'll have to admit that. Forgive me. But I can understand those who stand in front of me with an open face and speak clearly. I can understand them perfectly well. But those who mumble and talk so fast and, oh, and then sometimes, oh, forgive me, ladies, but I hate to see it. And you'll ask them the question and they'll just say, yeah. And then as they open their mouth, they don't even know how to say yes, thank you, properly. And they'll just say, yeah. And then you see the green chewing gum bopping all around their mouth and I just want to vomit. Oh, it's so revolting. I mean, are we really? How are we training our children? Are we training them for royalty? And what it means to go out in society and act with dignity and royalty? Yes, we just can't let them just get away with, you know, just some common kind of speech or common kind of way. No, let's lift them up to royalty. Do we teach them to dress like royalty? Not so today. It's amazing, isn't it, ladies, how we fall into the groove. Oh, so easy to fall into the groove. That's why we started off this series about how we've all fallen into the groove, calling our children kids. And why do we do that? Because that's what society does. It's not what the Bible calls them. And now we're up to this point. And we fall into the groove of dressing our children. Most little ones, even from little toddlers, how are their mothers dressing them? They're just dressing them in jeans and tops. And what do they realize what they're doing? That they're starting their children off on a pattern. You see, we have got to be training our daughters according to the pattern. That is the word. In Psalm 144, verse 12, are you getting it? According to the pattern, what kind of a pattern? The pattern of a palace. Dear ladies, often we forget this, and we're establishing our darling little ones on a pattern. A pattern that, oh, you just wear pants, that's how girls dress. No, God wants there to be a difference between male and female. We are living in a transgender society because there has been no distinction for so many years of the dress of male and female. Little by little, the standard gets lower and lower and lower. But God's standard is for there to be a marked difference between the male and the female. The Bible talks about that, that the man should not dress like the woman or the woman like the man. It is an abomination, the Bible says in Deuteronomy. And so if we are preparing them for royalty, we're training them, preparing them after the pattern, we'll be showing them that they're to dress like little girls. Yes. Now there's times, of course, when you're doing certain things, you will need to wear pants. Okay, you're taking them horse riding or something like that. But when they're going out, you're going to teach them that they're female. God created them female. and teach them how to dress as a female. And of course, I hope that you are showing an example yourself. I mean, you can't teach what you are not doing yourself. Yes. And I find too, you know, in this dressing business, it's the dressing, it sort of affects even the way we sit. We do have to teach our daughters how to sit correctly. I see so many girls, and no, not even girls, sadly, I see women sitting with their legs apart, sitting like a man. Help! Help! Women are meant to sit with their legs together. Now, they can cross their ankles. They can do that. They're not meant to cross their legs like a man does, where he puts one leg over his thigh. That's the way a man sits. And yet today, I see girls and mothers sitting like that. That is manlike, manly. We are not males. We are females. Dear ladies, we must show our daughters how to be females, how to speak, how to act, how to dress, how to sit. Yes. And I think the reason is that so many do sit with their legs in these ways. They sit apart. You can't do that when you've got a dress on. Ooh, it doesn't work. But when you've got jeans on, pants on, you can just sit like that and get away with it, although it looks ugly and manlike. And you can't cross your leg like a man when you're with a dress, but they do with jeans because that's what they're wearing. So that's what they begin to act like a man because they've started dressing like a man. It is time that we reversed and turned back to God's ways, to his word, to his truth. Dear ladies, I'm not even being legal. I'm trying to teach you God's heart and his word. And how we are, God holds us, the mothers, responsible as to how we train our sons and as how we train our daughters. And it will be different to each one. And we must train our daughters after the passion of a palace. We lift them up to royalty, dear precious mothers. What about etiquette? Are you training your daughters in etiquette? Do they know the true etiquette of how to sit at a table, how to set a table, how to what to do when they go to a function? And in all etiquette goes into all aspects of life. And there is an etiquette that so many young people don't even have a clue about today because even their mothers don't have a clue about. I did do some podcasts on this subject, if you didn't hear them, when I was doing the series, Mothers Are the Transmitters of God's Truth to the Next Generation. Podcasts 253 up to 257 were all about etiquette. And you can re-listen to those if you would like to be encouraged in that way. So lovely, precious mums, let's remind our daughters that they're royalty. They belong to a royal kingdom, the greatest kingdom of all kingdoms. They belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They do not act like the ordinary young person of today. They are set apart as royalty. Number four, our daughters are to be polished. Yes, what does it say? Polished after the pattern of a palace. Now, in the palace, they have pillars. And these pillars, they were always made from highly polished marble. They didn't just put any kind of pillar in a palace. Oh, no. They didn't just get some old bit of wood and stick it up to hold up the building. No, they it was often made from marble, and they would polish them and polish them until they were polished to a degree of brilliance. And so this is also our task, as we are polishing our beautiful daughters and polishing them in godly character, in the graces of the Lord. Amen. So number five, our daughters are to be like pillars in a palace. So here we get the word pillars. Now, yes, and I am getting to the end of our time. I can't believe this. Wow, let me just give you the scriptures and maybe I'll have to talk on it next time. All right, it doesn't say pillars in our King James Version. It talks about cornerstones, but in many other translations it calls pillars. And I'll give you a few. The Living Bible, daughters of graceful beauty, like the pillars of a palace wall. New American Bible, our daughters like carved columns, shapely as those of the temple. Fides translation, our daughters like upright pillars, fine wrought for a palace. The Good News Bible, may our daughters be like stately pillars which adorn the corners of a palace. Well, I can't believe it, ladies. Our time has gone. We'll talk, because there's quite a bit about pillars that we need to think about as we are training our daughters. So we'll talk about that next time. And love you all, wherever you are, whatever country you are in. Hope I'll get to your country someday to meet you and speak with you there. We're hoping toward the end of this year to get to continental Europe. I think we're planning on Hungary and other countries as the Lord directs, if it is the Lord's will. And for those here in USA, keep praying for dear Rebecca, won't you? And be blessed today, dear mothers. You are in the most amazing career of the whole world. Oh, the whole land. There's no greater career than mother. And when you think of how you're raising princes in all the earth and you're raising your daughters, oh, after the passion of a palace, it's just too amazing. Just raise them to be royalty. Lord, I pray for these precious mothers today. Pray that you will give them such wisdom. Help them to seek after your truth. That, Lord, they won't just train their children according to the pattern of this world. Oh, God, it's so easy to get hooked up on the pattern of this world, that everything we do is according to the pattern of your word. I pray that you'll help them to be seekers after your word, Lord God, and to know the truth with all their hearts, and to train their beautiful daughters in it, Lord God. And for all the daughters listening today and in the families, I pray for them. I pray that you'll give them hearts to be the daughters that you want them to be, these beautiful daughters who are polished and who are like the pattern of a palace, who are fit for a palace. Oh, Lord, I pray that their whole vision will be lifted up to know who they are. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. In that home.